I would like to start this evening just by giving you a bit of a disclaimer, and that is that ball skills are really important, and I really support this, and I think you'll get that later. So 5 years ago, some of us got together and started an organization called Ministry of Inspiration. But the story that I want to tell you tonight is really about the birth of that organization, and that goes back about 13 years. Taking you back, it's about 2002, and my husband and myself and two very small children have just stepped off the plane, in this case, from America to New Zealand. And we know that we are in paradise. We have swapped Silicon Valley slavery and all the chaos of it for a little bookstore in Richmond. And we're thrilled to not be doing school morning security pat-downs, but instead Friday morning chocolate fish with the principals. I mean, it just doesn't get any better than that. This is clearly paradise. The children are very small, have started school. They're learning to count. Everything is perfect. They're counting sheep in those, you know, gorgeous green paddocks. They're counting the very occasional car that goes by our rather remote house. In fact, they're bloody well counting everything because they are really bored. So maybe it's missing a little bit of spark of excitement for the kids. About 2 weeks after they start school, I get a phone call from the principal who says, "Mrs. Pressman, you need to come to the office right away." So I hang up the phone and I race down there, sure that, you know, one of the children is injured or something's horribly, horribly wrong. And he says, "Your son has scribbled all over the new gymnasium floor, and we don't scribble on the gymnasium floor." And I'm appalled. I mean, I live in paradise. One does not scribble on the gymnasium floor. So I look at Joshua and I say, "What were you thinking?" And the principal calmly repeats that we don't do this sort of behavior. And I said, I can't imagine what he was thinking. What was he scribbling? I just want to say, since I forgot to say it earlier, that Joshua is 5 at this point, 5 years old. So I said, what was he scribbling on the floor? And the principal says, "Multiplication tables." They were in a gym class to be learning basketball, and he was on the sidelines. He wasn't watching what was going on. You know, he has very poor ball skills, your son. And he was scribbling on the floor, and I said, "Didn't you just give him a piece of paper?" So it was a fairly traumatic moment for us at school, but it began a journey for me. I began to talk to other teachers and other parents mostly. Well, I immediately went out and got on the school board, as you can imagine, having such a good relationship with the principal now. But I went and I started talking to other parents, and I said, "Well, you know, what are your children's experiences? I think it's kind of extreme to not hand a piece of paper to a child who's 5 and scribbling multiplication tables. We should be going, 'Yeah, that's amazing.'" And they said, "Well, actually, yeah, there's this funny thing that happened, and I heard that from a lot of parents, and here's a little girl who's really struggling to read in the classroom, but actually she's sneaking National Geographics to the class because she's just bored with the readers that they're be giving in class. So she muddles through that and isn't progressing very nicely. But on the lunch break, the teachers have actually caught her reading through the National Geographic articles, and they think something's a little suspicious about this. I'm like, "Well, yeah, you might want to change those readers that the kids are going through." So I'm on the school board, time goes on, and I hear that the Ministry of Education is starting a regional strategy group, actually 9 of them throughout the country, and we're going to re-envision what education should look like in New Zealand. And I said, "Sign me up. This is awesome. You can't have a voice like this in America." So we go to the regional strategy meetings, and I meet some what have become really close friends. And for 2 years, we talk each other's ears off about great ideas and innovations and where education should go and, you know, economic. Oh my God, I'm not even halfway through my story. Okay. 2 years of discussions. At the end of the 2 years, a number of us fly up to Auckland. we all exchange stories, and it's great. The people from the Ministry of Education don't have time to meet from us, and they say, thanks very much for playing. We hope you do something with those ideas. And we get back on the plane to all come back home, and we go, really? Is that all there is? My God, I think we're going to have to suck it up and do something ourselves. So we whip out our credit cards because we know that there's a group of motivated teachers down here and some really anxious and frustrated parents that, you know, want to get some things going. We start rolling out science programs and getting those kids with the National Geographic magazines engaged in, you know, more any kind of science, explosions, squishy circuits, electron, doesn't matter, any kind of science we can possibly, and numbers, no scribbling on the gym floors. First, we roll out quiz nights, and it's just to the college-age kids because we figure this is going to be really difficult. So we come up with some very difficult highbrow questions on the quiz nights. And the kids not only just steamroller right over those, but they dress up and they have a ball doing it. Ball skills. they have a great time, and they've had such a great time that they want to do more, and they roll it out to the intermediate kids, and those the primary kids, and then we start in on a philosophy topic because they've had a great time with that, and they want to roll that out. And then we think, what if we had a day where we just invited a lot of science and professionals from across the country, and they exchanged ideas with the kids, and let's just see what happens. So we get out the credit cards again, and these professors come, and they talk about wearable electronics, and pick comes and talks about how to, you know, be an entrepreneur and start your own business. Scientists from Auckland University come, and people from Weta Workshops come, and they do movie theaters. And we even have one who's a world championship juggler, so he's clearly got really good ball skills. And the kids and the adults get together, and the most amazing thing happens. So this is several years later now, right? So the little girl who was obsessed with these National Geographic magazines has been to several Inspire festivals. That's what we called it in the end, an Inspire festival. And she now actually teaches younger kids science classes because she was so excited by what she saw at the Inspire festival. We, of course, realized that that was going to happen. That was our master plan. But what we didn't realize was that the speakers would be so excited to connect with the kids. So they're looking out at this audience full of kids, and they see themselves. When they were 12 and 14 and 16 and lonely and isolated, geeky kids who hid their National Geographic magazines under their mattresses. And they see those kids, and the kids see them, and there's this amazing dynamic that happens. So now it's been 5 years later. We started out with a little festival of 100 kids, and now there's a bigger festival of about 800 kids. And it's the most amazing work that I have not been paid for several years that I've ever done in my life. And I just have to say that if you get a chance to connect with somebody younger in the next generation, do it, because they are so anxious to learn and they just don't know how to ask. And keep passing on the ball skills.